Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And our text for this evening is that verse 52, the verse of the chapter. And Jesus said unto him, unto Bartimaeus, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. On his way to Jerusalem for the last time, the Lord Jesus, we are told, came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho, so we are specifically told that the Savior did not tarry in Jericho. He did not minister in Jericho, and he did not perform any miracle in Jericho. But rather, he came to the city and passed through it. The miracle that he wrought upon blind Bartimaeus took place outside Jericho. There was, of course, a very good reason for the Lord not ministering in Jericho. For when the Lord gave Joshua the victory, when he fought against Jericho, the Lord gave a very solemn warning. You turn to chapter 6. For there in Joshua in the chapter 6, we read verse 34. Joshua chapter 6, and the verse 34. And Joshua adjured them, or verse 26, at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. And so when Jericho was conquered, the God of heaven placed a curse upon that place and indeed upon anyone who attempted to build it again. Of course, there's always those who will fly in the face of God and his word and in his warnings, and they always suffer the consequences. Read in 1 Kings, in the chapter 16, verse 34. In his days did Hiel, the Bethelite, build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun. Exactly what the Lord had said he would do. He signed it the warning, but the warning was not heeded. And he suffered, the builder suffered the death of his two sons, firstborn and the youngest. The firstborn was slain when the foundations were laid. You would have thought that would have been a warning. But no, he pressed on. He pressed on to the extent that he built the gates of the city. And it was then that his youngest son was slain also. See, The wages of sin is death. So determined was this individual, he defied God and went on building. As I said, he suffered the consequences. And now we have the Lord coming to Jericho. And the Lord passed through Jericho, the place that the God of heaven had placed a curse upon it. Thus, the Lord did not minister or work miracles in Jericho. He went right through the city. So it was outside Jericho that he met Bartimaeus. And he gave Bartimaeus his sight. There on that road to Jerusalem, to Calvary and to the cross, things were made to see. For there's wonder-working power in the blood of Calvary. So let us consider then tonight blind Bartimaeus and how the Lord made those blind eyes to see. One is first of all to consider Bartimaeus and his misery. According to Matthew's account of this miracle, we're told in Matthew 20 and verse 30, behold, two blind men were sitting by the wayside begging. Here Mark only mentions one, and indeed gives us the name of one of them. There is, of course, no contradictions in God's word. And this is not a contradiction. It simply means that Mark concentrated on one of the two blind men. And I believe the one was Jericho, known as the man who always would be found sitting by the highway side begging. Everybody knew him. I believe that's why Mark focused his attention on Bartimaeus. We see, first of all, his plight. What a terrible affliction blindness is. And this man who met the Lord outside Jericho is called blind Bartimaeus. He's not just referred to as Bartimaeus. He's referred to as blind Bartimaeus. In other words, his terrible affliction is attached to his name. So that when people spoke about him, they did not just speak about Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. No, they said, oh, that's blind Bartimaeus. His affliction is here attached to his name. And so it is with many. We think of Rahab. You never read of Rahab except you read Rahab the harlot. Her sinful life, you see, is attached to her name. She couldn't separate herself from her awful activity. Rahab the harlot. No mother would ever think of calling her daughter Rahab. Judas. When we think of Judas, what do we think of? Judas the traitor. Once again, Judas could not separate his name from what he was. He was a traitor. Betrayed the Lord, sold him for 30 pieces of silver. You think of that time the Lord made that once only visit to the land of Gadara. He met there a man Once again, there were two men in the tombs, but one is focused on. He was possessed of many devils. We're not really given his proper name, the name that he was given at his birth. But the name that is given to him because of what he was, he'll always be known as Legion. Savior asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for, because we are men." Many devils and evil spirits have taken control of Legion's life, taken control of this man's life, that he was never known as anything else, only Legion. Because there were many devils in his life. And there are many today who are known for nothing else except what the devil has made them. They're individuals, and you mention their name, and they'll always be associated with their sin. I remember in the town where my wife and I lived, when we got married, there was a man there, and he was known as the town drunk. Didn't matter, it seemed, that every time he drove through the town, there he was standing outside a public house. He was never known for anything else but for being drunk. And there are others that are never known for anything else but for their drug addiction. And others have never been known for anything else but their murders and their thieving and their bad language. I've mentioned before the passion that my father was involved in, and men coming to the house all the time to do business with him. And one man in particular in the town, when he came to the house, my father would always usher myself and my three brothers outside, because the man had the most filthy tongue. That man was never known for anything else except the filthy tongue that he had. Bartimaeus, of course, was none of those things, but he was known as blind Bartimaeus. His affliction was attached to his name. And you know, there's only one person who can separate what a man is, what his reputation is. There's only one person can separate the man from his ill-gained reputation. That one person is Christ. Only the Lord Jesus. Christ can give the harlot a pure life to live. He can cleanse the tongue of the blasphemer. Yes. And he can save the murderer. Praise the Lord. But you know, I was chaplain in the Mays prison for 4.5 years. We were put into the 8 blocks. The infamous 8 blocks where the paramilitaries were. I'd go in there every week and hold meetings and spend time with the prisoners. One man, it's called Bobby Bates. His nickname was Basher Bates. He was convicted of 13 murders. Sentenced to life in prison. You know something? God saved that man. And it was a genuine work of grace. The Lord's able to do that. That's what the Lord did for Bartimaeus. As well as restoring sight to the blind, as they do with Bartimaeus, we see not only his plight, but also his poverty. When the Savior came upon this man, we are told that he sat by the highway side begging. There's his poverty. Over in John 9, about the man who was born blind, there in John 9 and verse 8, his occupation was the same. All he could do was beg, depending on others to give him money. There's his poverty. And unfortunately, in Bible times, blindness was accompanied always by poverty. This man, Bartimaeus, reminds us of those today who suffer from a blindness, not a physical blindness, but a spiritual blindness. Now we look at Bartimaeus and we don't know why he was blinded. Perhaps some disease. Maybe he was born blind too. Terrible affliction. But when it comes to those who suffer from spiritual blindness, we know what has caused that. We know what causes spiritual blindness in men and women today. Listen. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine to them. That's what Satan, the God of this world, had done. Blinded men and women today to the good news of the gospel. Blinded men and women today to their need of salvation. If you were able to interview all the people in Port Hope tonight and ask them, do you need to be saved? Do you need to have your sins forgiven? I don't think it'd get very many would agree with you. Oh, I'm all right. Well, I go to my church, I'm all right. I do the best I can, oh, I'm all right. Blinded. They're blinded. They are blinded to their need of Christ, blinded to the truth of the gospel, blinded to the fact that they're on the road to a lost sinner's hell. Blinded. There's only a step between them and death. My, you would think they'd be afraid to go to sleep at night. Only a half way from eternity. But Satan had blinded them. Do they have any hope? No. Without God, and no hope in the world. Ephesians 2 and 12. Have happiness? No. Poor, wretched, miserable, and blind. Revelation 3:17. Do they have heaven? No. For the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And there are none so poor in this world. There are none so poor in this world who do not have Christ, the pearl of greatest price. He who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. But while people continue on in their sin and reject Christ and reject his gospel, they remain poor, poor, lost souls. They sit in the highway side of life, begging. Begging the God of this world to give them something to satisfy the emptiness and the void in their lives. God of this world can't do anything. But the God of heaven can. Hallelujah. The God of heaven most certainly can. And what men truly need is Christ. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and there's life and there's everlasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee. Do you have that tonight? Love, life, everlasting joy. Do you have God's salvation purchased by the shedding of his blood at Calvary? As well as his plight and his poverty, we notice his pleadings. Upon hearing that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, we are told that he didn't miss the opportunity. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thy son of David, have mercy on me. You notice, regarding his pleadings, we notice first of all that he heard about Christ. Now what it says, verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. When he heard. Remember, he's blind, he couldn't see, but he heard. He heard the commotion of the multitude passing through Jericho and going out of Jericho, and they asked the question, what's this all about? And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Bartimaeus heard. And upon hearing, he cried out. That's interesting. The Lord Jesus was passing his way. There sat Bartimaeus and the other blind man by the highway side begging. And then he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he cried out. He wasn't going to let the opportunity pass him by. The Lord was on his way to Jerusalem. He wouldn't be back to Jericho again. This was a once only opportunity for Bartimaeus to cry out. We're told that when he heard. You know, there are many and they've heard about the Lord Jesus. Oh no, not once. I've heard about the Lord Jesus hundreds of times. We sit in the house of God every Sabbath day and the gospel is preached and they hear about Christ, the only Savior of the soul. The one who is the way, the truth and the life. They've heard about him every week. But they have yet to cry out. They have yet to cry out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. They nearly know as much as the gospel, as the Christians that they sit amongst, because they've heard it so many times. Many times have you heard the gospel? Have you cried out? Or do you still sit there begging at the side of life's highway in the darkness, in the blindness of your sin? You see that he heard about Christ and he cried out. We see also that his hope was in Christ. He didn't call to anyone else. There was a multitude of people there, including the Savior's disciples. He didn't call out anybody else. Rather, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He placed all his hope in the Lord Jesus. If anyone in that multitude could help Bartimaeus, if anyone in that multitude could heal Bartimaeus, if anyone in that multitude could change Bartimaeus' life, it was Jesus Christ. And it was to Christ that he called. He believed that if he was to be given his sight, that Jesus Christ alone he didn't cry to anyone else. Christ alone. And how that would be a lesson to many, that it is Christ alone who saves. Alone. It's not Christ and somebody else. It's not Christ and something else. It's not Christ and the church. It's not Christ and my good works. No. It's Christ alone. Must abandon everything else. Throw away every crutch, as it were. Everything else that you've been depending upon. And you must say, it's Christ for me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Bartimaeus placed his hope entirely, completely, absolutely in Jesus Christ. That's what the sinner must do. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7 we read, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. The Lord was the hope of Bartimaeus. we notice that not only had he heard about Christ, his hope was in Christ, but I see also the death of Christ. Physically. Him by. He held on. Because verse 48 says, many charged him that he could hold his peace. But he cried the more. Deal. He held on. As was said, he wasn't going to let the Savior pass him. The crowd told him to hold his peace. Bartimaeus held his peace. He would have remained in the darkness of his blindness. He would have remained where he was that day, begging at the side of the road. He was not going to be dissuaded. He was not going to be discouraged. He had a great need and believed that only Christ could meet that need. And when you have a great need, and there's no greater need than having your sins forgiven, well, when you have a great need like that, you need a great Savior. Christ is a great Savior. And any man, woman, or child may attempt or think about calling upon the name of the Lord saved, you can be sure the devil will put every obstacle in their way. Here it is, see? The crowd cried out to Bartimaeus, hold your peace. And many come under conviction of sin. And they're troubled about their soul and the need of salvation. And then immediately into their mind comes, what about the family? What will they say if I go home tonight and tell them I've got saved? What about my workmates? What will they say? Will they laugh at me? And they're sitting there and they're convicted about their sin. And they're filled with fear. They say, well, I'd like to be saved, but I'll never be able to keep it. I've heard that often enough. And they always tell that person, you're right. You don't do the keeping. Christ does the keeping. No man, no devil, no demon from hell will pluck us out of the hand of Christ. Nothing to fear. And people are afraid of what their friends may say and friends may laugh at them. What does that matter? They may laugh a soul into hell, but they'll not laugh a soul out of hell. And for Bartimaeus, he wasn't going to be put off. He wasn't going to be discouraged. He cried out the more. We have the hearing about Christ, his hope being in Christ, his holding on to Christ, his offering of Christ. Here's something quite wonderful. Whenever Bartimaeus asked what was happening, they said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Jesus of Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That name, Jesus of Nazareth, was a name of reproach associated with that little town. Was nothing in the eyes of many. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, do you notice what Bartimaeus did? He was told Jesus of Nazareth passing by, but did Bartimaeus cry out, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me? No, he didn't. Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus, thy son of David. Boy, isn't that good? He honored Christ. This poor beggar sitting at the side of the road. The multitude would have passed him by. But that beggar knew more about Christ than many in that multitude knew. They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Bartimaeus said, Jesus, thy son of David. That's the title that is given to the Messiah. He's the son of David. And Bartimaeus acknowledged Christ as Messiah. What do we read in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30? They that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Well, there at the side of the road that day on the other side of Jericho, Bartimaeus honored the Lord. There's a lesson there for us all. We want the Lord to do anything for us. He needs to be honored first. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And Bartimaeus honored the Savior. He recognized Christ as Messiah. And the Lord blessed him by giving him. Bartimaeus and his misery. Bartimaeus and his master. In spite of the hindrances, Bartimaeus did meet the Lord. In verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying, unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. There was a turnaround for that crowd. Doesn't show you just how fickle people are. Oh, they first of all said, hold your peace. And then when the Lord commanded him to be called, they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, he calleth thee. Turn right around. I want you to notice here, first of all, the master's compassion. You see how wrong people can be about the Savior. How wrong they can be about Christ. Telling Bartimaeus to hold his peace. The thought was that Christ wouldn't want of anything to do. What he knew is just blind Bartimaeus. Well, they were wrong. And I love those words. Whenever Bartimaeus cried, thy son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49, and Jesus stood still. He wasn't ushered along by the force of the crowd. Because a multitude was there. Others would have passed him by, but Jesus stood still. Others would have ignored his cries, but Jesus stood still. Others would have regarded him as an outcast of society, but Jesus stood still. Others would have regarded him as altogether hopeless, because they'd seen him so many times sitting there. But when that voice entered into the ears of Christ, Jesus stood still. The Savior is the same today as he was yesterday. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. And when the cry of a needy soul enters the ears of Christ, he will stand still, as it were, because he's interested. He is interested in the cry of the needy. He's interested in the cry of the sinner. As we read in Isaiah 30 and verse 19, "Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee." Isn't that wonderful? "Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee." And he heard the voice of Bartimaeus. And when he heard the voice, he stood still. That speaks to us of his compassion. He didn't ignore Bartimaeus, didn't pass him by. Because Christ is interested. He's interested in sinners. He's interested in their salvation. As well as the compassion of the Master, we have the command by the Master. Verse 49 again, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And boy, Bartimaeus didn't waste any time. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, he calleth thee." And he, casting his garment, arose and came to Jesus. When he was called, he came. When the command was uttered, he came. Many hear the command of God every time the gospel is preached. And they're called, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But still they sit. This poor blind man can teach quite a few people quite a few lessons. The Lord issued the command, called Bartimaeus to him, and we are told that Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose and came to Christ. Oh, that others would follow in the footsteps of Bartimaeus and come to Christ. All who are lonely, lost, living a life of sin, how they will find cleansing, peace, of conscience, peace of mind, peace with God and the peace of God, if only they would come and receive Christ. Compassion of the Master, the command of the Master. And then you have the challenge of the Master. What was the challenge? Verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Now he called. Do you notice? No, he didn't call him Jesus of Nazareth. First of all, he called him Jesus, thy son of David. Now he calls him Lord. And upon his coming to Christ, he was challenged. And you know, when you look at that verse 51, the words of the Savior, when the Savior said, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? You think upon first reading that, well, surely the Lord didn't really have to ask that question. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Bartimaeus says, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Seemed an obvious answer. But there's a reason for it. There's a reason for what the Lord does, of course. There was a reason why the Lord said to Bartimaeus, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? He wanted Bartimaeus to confess with his mouth what his need was. When it comes to salvation, Savior may say to the sinner, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? He wants to hear the sinner confess, I need salvation. I'm a sinner. As Paul said in Romans 10 and verse 9, If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Individual, the sinner must confess he's a sinner. That's it. No ifs or buts. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need thy salvation. I'm bound for a lost sinner's hell. Lord, save me. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Let the answer even tonight come back. Save me. In the last place, and very quickly, we have Bartimaeus and his misery, and Bartimaeus and the Master, and Bartimaeus then and the miracle. We see how wonderfully this miracle was wrought. We just read verse 51. Now in verse 52, And Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. First of all, we have the favor. When Bartimaeus cried to the Lord and requested that he might receive his sight, he enjoyed the favor of Christ. The Lord said, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. He enjoyed the favor of the Lord. Cried for mercy. Had he to cry couldn't recommend himself any other way to the Lord. What was he? He was just a poor beggar. He'd been sitting there maybe for years. He had nothing else. He had nothing else to plead but mercy. Have mercy on me. Jesus, thou Son of David. He sought mercy and he sought a miracle, and the Lord favored him with both. As Proverbs 8 and verse 35, we read, "For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Bartimaeus did that day. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. As well as ever you have the faith. And Jesus saith unto him, send thing. When we read there, thy faith hath made thee whole, those words may be rendered, thy faith hath saved thee. There's the good gospel message there. For by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Bartimaeus put his trust and his faith in Jesus Christ that day, and the Lord said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And sure isn't the Lord doing that all the time. Lives that the devil and the God of this world has wrecked and ruined and destroyed, Christ hath made them whole. Made them new creatures, new creation in Christ Jesus. The favor and the faith, and then the following. For we read there, and immediately he received his sight. Immediately. Amazing. There's the miracle. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. The Lord said, I am the way. And Bartimaeus, when he received his sight, do you notice something? When he received his sight, he didn't go back to the begging. He didn't go back to occupy that place at the side of the highway. No, he didn't go back. He went forward. He followed Jesus in the way. He followed Christ. He was now a new creature in Christ Jesus. It wrought a marvelous change in his life. Blind eyes were made to see by the miracle working power of the Lord Jesus. And he's still doing it today, giving sight to those who were spiritually blind and giving them new life in himself. Amen. Let's bow our heads. O Lord our God, we pray thou will use thy word tonight. Lord, to save lost souls. Lord, be pleased to bind the devil, the one who has blinded the minds of them that believe not, blinded them to their danger, blinded them to their need of salvation. Lord God, defeat the devil even tonight, and use thy word to the glory and honor of thy holy name. We ask, O Lord, Thou will bless our visitors, and may their time in this area be owned and blessed of God, and may it be a time of, as well as physical, make it spiritual refreshing as well. Grant us now all traveling mercy. Keep Thy hand upon us. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, of the Holy Spirit, abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.